This is the Prism, message number 2. In the first talk, we looked at the first half of Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy. It might be tempting to skip over the genealogies of the Bible, but often they contain some very helpful information. And this is a very unusual one. As we saw, women are conspicuously present in this genealogy, especially women associated with one kind of scandal or another. And they're also Gentiles. And so even though Jesus is the son of David, the son of Abraham, there's Gentile blood. Further, the Messiah will be born to a young virgin, not into a prominent family. And that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul says, not many of you were of noble birth. So what is God showing us here? God is coming down to our level. And in the doctrine that Christians call the incarnation, God becomes flesh. Well, Jesus is about to be born. We're picking it up in Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Quite an amazing position to be in for Joseph. And he is an honorable man. He thinks he'll divorce her. He was actually a great husband, right? Because technically, he could have exposed his wife. The Old Testament law had execution for promiscuity while still living in one's father's household, Deuteronomy 22, though it's doubtful that that was ever practiced. Virtually none of the Old Testament death penalties were ever carried out, except for issues involving murder or false prophecy. And besides, in the first century, there was a form of divorce that was the norm called any-cause divorce. That is, one could divorce one's spouse for any reason without getting too specific or having a big trial. And so Joseph thinks to divorce her to protect her. And had he done that, it would have been under the fairly liberal rules of the day. But God tells him that this is from the Holy Spirit. And let's continue in verse 22. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, that quotation is from Isaiah. Isaiah is far and away the most quoted prophet in the New Testament, 9 times out of 10, in fact. Now, this one comes from Isaiah 7, where we seem to find an original and a secondary fulfillment, what's called a dual prophecy. We're less concerned with the immediate fulfillment in the 8th century BC. We're more concerned with the fulfillment in the Messiah. And the wording is very unusual. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, it's often objected that that word virgin is just some kind of interpretation not quite right. It should be a young woman. And that's interesting, because that young woman in the Hebrew, alma, could be a married woman or an unmarried woman, a virgin or a non-virgin, technically. But what they don't often tell you is that the translation that the Jews made into Greek, which is called the Septuagint, this was done in Egypt in the 3rd, 2nd century BC. In that translation, the Jews rendered Alma into Parthenos. And Parthenos is the Greek word for virgin. So this is not a Christian interpretation being forced onto the passage. The notion that this woman is a virgin, a Parthenos, is a Jewish one. But there's more. There's even more, because it's not just that she's a virgin. It says they shall call his name, the son's name, Emmanuel. Now, Jesus was never called that as a name or a nickname. Some names are used in address, and some are used really just in reference, or as Emmanuel is used, just to describe him. But what is the meaning of Immanuel? El is the basic word for God in Hebrew. Immanu is with us. So Immanuel, with us God. Less awkwardly, God with us. Now, that could mean that something great will happen through the Son, which will bring God close to us or indicate his love for us. But it could also easily be taken to mean that God is with us in the Son. That is, the divine has taken on human flesh. Well, no wonder Isaiah 7 has been such a powerful prophecy and seems so important, not only to Christians, but to those who've opposed their interpretation. The book of Isaiah has many passages relating to Jesus, not just chapter 7 or chapter 9 or the famous chapter 53, but many. And so, God the Son comes to our world in body and blood. He becomes flesh, entering our world of hardship, pain, dust, and grime. So the question I'd like to leave us with, to think about, how willing am I to get my hands dirty, to act incarnationally, that is, serving others, following our Lord? Where I'm sitting today in the nation of Nepal, I'm with a group of men and women of all ages. At their own expense, have taken a couple of weeks simply to help the poor, the needy, and children. That's incarnational activity. God comes down to our level. If you want further study on that, I'd refer you to the very familiar Philippians chapter 2. Next time, we'll pick it up right where we left off, and we'll see about the visit of the Magi from the East and what the real meaning of that is. And we'll continue in these early chapters of Matthew with the birth of Jesus and then eventually the coming of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of this gospel, for all the connections we saw last time with the women. And that tells us in a male-dominated society that we need to pay attention. And you were trying to tell us this 2,000 years ago. It's wonderful to learn afresh how the New Testament uses the old, the prophets, the law, the writings. And Father, we thank you for not just foreshadowing all this, but for actually visiting our world by sending Jesus, who entered our world of pain and dust and was willing to come down to our level. Please help us to understand this, your will, revealed in both testaments, but especially in the life of Jesus Christ. We ask that in his name. Amen.